Glory Days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim
on Radio Nova.
Yeah, welcome along, folks. Glory Days, the PJ and Jim podcast. Good to have you with us, especially on a week where, thankfully, we've had a week with no drama.
No drama. Amazingly, we've done it. We've gotten through a week.
Well done, you.
Well done, me. There's been no spectacular madness or
disasters. Have landed upon us this week.
It's actually nearly unfortunate. What are we going to talk about? What are we talking about now? You know, like we've been getting so used to,
to the drama.
Breakdowns and deaths and every sort of thing that we don't know what to...
I've forgotten how to be happy, Jim.
Maybe we should rebrand, PJ.
Yeah.
Maybe we should rebrand as, as one of those podcasts that deals with serious things.
Yeah.
Maybe we should start to consider ourselves serious.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I couldn't even finish the sentence.
Serious broadcasters. Yeah, very serious. We'd end up being like, do you remember when the ceasefire happened in the 90s?
Yeah.
That's what we'd be like, because all of a sudden, all the newspapers and everything up north didn't know what to write about.
Yeah.
Because every day it was security alert in Bangor. In Lisburn, there was a shooting today.
There was a bomb here.
All of a sudden, there was this huge hole for news, and they realised how boring it was up north. And then it was like, Ulster News, straight off to be, the way ITV News.
Yeah, would jump in.
And now it goes to regional news, and there was a guy going, and today in Candragee, a fella found a favour on the ground, and we're looking for the owner if anyone could keep an eye out.
It became
so dull.
Because effectively, what it turned into was, like what we always say about, when we slag off the provincial papers.
Yeah.
The provincial papers here, but in the UK, they have those localised papers.
The
whole Ricky Gervais afterlife thing,
like the Cambridge Chronicle
where you're going around to look at a picture of Jesus in a wallpaper. It's a stain in a wallpaper.
Absolutely,
when you think about it, the north is so small. Without the troubles going on, that's what you're dealing with.
There was nothing to talk about, and that's why they jumped on stories. And when they found those diesel smugglers, that was a cracking story. When they found the diesel smugglers, they were putting oil in the diesel, they were swapping green diesel for red diesel or whatever it was.
Right, yeah.
And the two lads arrested were called JR and Bobby. So it was like, this is incredible. We have oil barons
called JR.
Yeah, a cross border oil barons. Like, JR and Bobby were the two lads.
Oh my god.
And I don't know if they were nicknames, but it was brilliant, wasn't it?
That's perfect.
Yeah, and also, how do you think you're going to hide from the British Army, the PSNI, and the guards doing border hopping with illegal diesel? And they'd be going, I wonder who it is in this town. Well, I don't think it's Adam. I definitely don't think it's Derek. And I don't know if JR and Bobby have it in them, but...
Let's ask them anyway.
Just something about them makes me think.
I just realised that. If you were sort of like what used to be referred to as an ordinary, decent criminal.
Right? Yeah.
If you were one of them in the north during all that time, it must have been a nightmare to get a day's work done. If you were just a normal criminal trying to go about, little bit of house burglary and all that sort of stuff.
Bit of shoplifting.
And whatever, And you've literally got the British Army. And blooming, as well as your police force and everything. How would you get a day's work done?
I'm just trying to sell a bit of hash over here, for the love of God. Will you give me a break? Stop planting bombs around the place. I'm afraid to stand on the corner. Some lad's taking a shot at me.
All the provisionals of all that sort of stuff going on all over the place. You go to set up your stall, suddenly there's a bomb scare, and it's like, for the love of Jim.
Can
a lad not go anywhere now?
And then you can't even burgle a fella's gaff. You go into his gaff and there's three of you. You turn on the light and there's six lads sitting around the kitchen table with revolvers. You'd be there, fuck me. I picked the wrong house here. I only came in to try and get a television.
Just realised that. Bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
the crime rates, for the other type of crimes.
For the other type of crimes.
It must have been flatlining.
Flatlining. Sure, that was it, yeah. That's what it was always. There's always like a harsh punishment. I know scumbags. It takes a real scumbag to rob a handbag off an old one or whatever. But because the police weren't active up there and all of that time. So you'd rob a few handbags and they'd shoot your knees off. Now, that's not a proportionate response. There's no rehabilitation in that.
Yeah.
Well, there is, but it's learning to walk again. It's not like, changing your attitude towards the L one or being seeing the...
It's a very different type of rehabilitation.
Yeah, seeing the wrong sort of actions in your ways,
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd be just there going, I think that was legit, You'd be there going, can I have my knees back when you're done? you'll make a key ring out of them or something.
My God, oh boy.
I know, yeah.
You see, this, there's always another side to stuff going on, isn't it?
There is,
when you scratch below the headlines.
When you scratch below the headlines.
And ordinary, normal life, you know.
Yeah, and I always found it terrifying when you heard those testimonies of lads who were taken by, you know, those groups and all. And they said the scary thing about it was the lads were very polite because they saw themselves as professionals. Do you
right.
know? So there was none of this like you see in the movies. Get on the car, and woo.
Right.
It was always like, you know, unfortunately, we found you guilty of shoplifting. And very unfortunate, we're going to have to shoot you. I said, don't fucking shoot me. Oh, I'm sorry, it's too late for that. So
look, this hurts me more than it hurts
you.
I don't think it will now. I have a feeling it'll hurt me more.
Honestly, no.
I'm actually, my heart's breaking.
Yeah, Colonel Gaddafi gave us these bullets at a tenner a pop. This isn't cheap. So take down your trousers because we don't want you to get an infection. Remember all that?
That's right.
Take down your trousers. Yeah. We don't want you to get, if cloth gets into your leg, it'll give you an infection. We don't want to kill you. We just want to hurt you a wee bit. You know, and all that. Please don't shoot me. Too late.
It reminds me of remember the time that you were telling that story that they, you know the way they do reconstructions and stuff?
I
remember the one with Shergar.
Yeah, prime
so
time.
That would actually fit that narrative you're talking about there of like polite kind of terrorists.
Yeah.
Because apparently they were asking the horse.
Did you see that? Yeah, it was the best crime reconstruction I've ever seen. I think prime time did it back in the day, you know, when they did the things. And they were trying to do, so they obviously got actors to play the part as the IRA taking the horse out of the stable and putting it in the trailer.
Yeah.
And obviously the real IRA, you know, that were looking away from the horse and pointing the guns out to see if anyone would come.
Yeah.
And
some lad was probably leading them in.
Yeah, but the actors didn't think of it. So the actors were pointing the guns at the horse going, get into the trailer. As if the horse is going to go, don't fucking shoot.
Yeah, yeah. You wouldn't believe how much these legs are worth.
Yeah, hold on, I'm doing what you're asking me.
Get into the trailer. Nee. Get into the fucking trailer.
Get into the trailer, you bastard. You're loyalist horse.
That must be the worst thing to have to do. Like, you're an actor, right, as well. And imagine being asked to do a reconstruction.
Yeah,
it
I
must
know.
Be, and because, and to be fair, now I don't want this to backfire on me. But this, you know, I'd imagine that the people who are asked to be involved in those reconstructions aren't necessarily A-list actors.
Well, this
they
is
may
it.
Well be people who are, you know, extras and
struggling
quite happy to get a job or whatever. So as a result, you know, sometimes they might seize the moment too much.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, a lad, there's nothing worse than a lad who overacts.
Yeah.
Oh. So like literally the scene is, you know, the guy with the guns just tells you to sit down.
Yeah.
And so he walks in, he goes, sit down. And you go, oh, Jesus! Oh, okay, I will. No, you don't. Just relax. Just ask you to sit down.
Just look frightened and sit down.
I'm acting.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to fucking act that much.
Oh, Lord, don't shoot me. Oh, God in heaven, help me. Think of my children.
Tell my children I love them.
Yeah,
he just asked you to sit down.
Can I kiss my dog goodbye one last time? Please, dear Christ in heaven, look after me.
Where do we get these lads? Yeah. We'd no budget. Yeah. We had to.
We had to, you know.
They volunteered.
I'm going to say a prayer. Mama, I wasn't the boy I should have been. I made life hard for you and Dad. Whoever you are, you're like,
Can't help, whatever you see them doing, you can't help but notice the lad or the girl, whoever it is, who's decided this could be the one I get spotted
this
in.
This is it.
This could be the one where somebody goes, bring me that actor.
Yeah, that's it. See that extra? That looks like he's after murdering six people. That's who I want for my romantic comedy in Hollywood. That's the lad we're after, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in fairness, I get it, you know, beggars can't be choosers if there's a few quid in it.
Yeah, definitely, yeah, you do it. You always do it. But, you know, you have to know your limitations. That's the thing. You know, I'm never going to get cast as a heartthrob. I'm never going to get cast.
Oh, don't say that now.
I'm never going to get cast as a
what happens
an
if
athlete.
They ever,
you know, I'm not getting the part to play.
Supposing they do a real-life version of Mr. Potato Head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you trying to tell me there's a better actor out there?
I suppose having displaceable facial features is definitely a shoe-in for that particular part.
But I tell you something, because in fairness, we've had to, for reasons that will become apparent in the future, we've had to do a bit of what we might call our version of acting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well,
and sometimes even having to, you know, because the worst thing you can say, be yourself. The worst thing you can say to anybody. Be yourself.
Yeah, just, yeah.
That never works.
Just be yourself.
Just then just sit there staring into space, ignoring everybody.
Yeah, you just...
Sorry, we're trying to do a scene here. You said to...
Yeah, so just be
yourself.
That's
what I always do.
Yeah, I'm bored. I'm sitting around being bored. That's what you asked me to do. That's what I do.
That's my thing.
That's pretty much me.
That's what I'm known for.
I sit around being bored wishing everyone would fuck off. That's my life, man.
Okay, well then stop being you, Megan.
Stop being you, then.
Yeah, not so much you.
Yeah, yeah. A little bit less than you, you know. Yeah. That, and anyway, when you do need to, like, understand your limitations. Like,
oh, yeah.
I've been cast in a movie as a drug dealing... a disabled drug dealer I was cast in.
And very well you played.
Yeah, and very well. And I got offered a part as a man called Fat Barry in a drama. Where they... Yeah, do you remember that? I got a phone call.
I do, yeah.
I got a phone call. There's a part for you in this show. I can't remember the name of it. It was on... It was TV3, mate. It was a big thing. I was like, we're looking for this guy. He's a mentally challenged fella who buys alcohol for youngsters. And they use him to, you know, to push him around.
Oh,
and
God.
The character... I said, send me over the script. And the character, Fat Barry, mid-40s, rotund. Not a, you know, it's a simple man, mentally challenged.
Whoa.
I was like, whoa. Yeah,
Yeah, you need to question your agent.
I know, yeah. The best thing is I turned it down and they rang me mate and I was there. Well, at least you can't slag me now.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the way. Like, so if that Fat Barry, if you're doing Fat Barry the sequel, I'm sorry I turned it down the first time. Can't even remember why I didn't do it, to be honest.
Yeah, because I mean, like, at the end of the day, like, you know, that could have been a big break. Mind you don't even want a big break. We've talked about this before. You got offered a gig in Italy once, didn't you?
Yeah, in the Clooney film thing.
Yeah.
But it was a stupid little part.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, though. You get to go and hang out with the Hollywood types in Italy for a while.
Oh, I couldn't give a fuck about that. That's Jesus Christ. I don't even like gigging in Cork, man.
I
don't want to be going over there. It was in Sicily.
PJ's agent rings him up and says, oh, fantastic, it's a great opportunity, it's a great role. Where's it on? It's been done in Meath. Oh, Jesus. No, I only go as far as... I'd go as far as Colestor. I'm not going any further than that.
Yeah, it depends. And I'm not on the weekend either. Friday traffic is fucked. You know, I'm not doing it. Yeah. I like, you know,
I can imagine you on second. George, yeah? Sorry,
yeah.
I have to get back to Marino. If you don't mind, can we move this along? Right, this is about your fourth take now.
Yeah, and it was a shite part anyway. I had to run up to him as an American soldier. There's actual Americans out there, you know, that would do it. I can't remember. It was something like, the squadron has been removed from Bakersville, whatever the fuck. And he goes, oh my God, is someone else there? And I go, I believe he was, sir. And then he sends you off to do an order. I was
right.
Like, Italy to do that.
That's brilliant. You only had to remember one line.
I couldn't. Three, four, five, six fucking days of your life over there eating shite food.
It's Italy, man. Italian food is fantastic.
Ah, yeah. No, they wouldn't give you the good stuff.
It's not like you would have had to eat out of the chippers.
Part of sausage and chips. Imagine.
Yeah, yeah. There's no real Italian food here, no?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you do? Have you any deep fried that? No.
Yeah, come on, for fuck's sake. Two snack boxes. Get them going.
Yeah, and stick on a load of onion rings. I might be peckish later on.
Yeah, yeah. You don't have a spice burger over here, I suppose, yeah. But anyway,
Actually, food made an appearance during the week. We'll give you some of the best bits from during the week. And food made an appearance. And again, PJ was not happy. And in fact, neither one of us were happy with this particular thing. Because we are very fond of our breakfasts, aren't we?
Really? So, very much so.
And we didn't think that there'd be anything that could ruin...
Yeah, I didn't think you could ruin an Irish breakfast, to be honest, but it can be done.
They found a way of doing it. So you'll hear about that. That's on the way. Also, speaking of bad news, we were chatting about the way that people break bad news to each other.
Yeah. And also, how you always know it's coming.
Yeah.
You always
It's meant to be easing somebody into it. It never does.
It's the exact opposite effect.
Never does. That's on the way. Speaking of chats and things like that, apparently you might think that you're no master, you know, linguistic master of voices and accents and all that sort of stuff, but oh no, you have a far greater range of voices than you thought you had.
Me?
Not you personally.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were...
People in general.
Yes, oh, that's right, yeah. No, I just thought you were complimenting my abilities to... of acting and masquerading.
I'll tell you something. I thought there was an American soldier in the building there a second ago.
Yes, you're dead.
And I'm surprised, to be honest with you, I remembered this based on my memory, but we were talking about memory. And how I'm not alone. Loads of people have really ropey memories.
Yeah. Apparently, we all do nowadays. Like our attention span is shot to shite, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So have a listen anyway, and if we remember, we'll come back and talk to you after this.
Glory Days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim
on Radio Nova.
Just reading here about the sentences that strike fear into your heart when you hear them, because you know they're setting you up to hear bad news.
Bad news is on the way.
Yeah,
breaking bad news is a very hard thing to do.
I know, and the thing is, we're very limited in how we do it. You know,
yeah.
So you always feel it coming before you hear what it is, you know, that way?
I mean, depending on how bad it is, it's nearly as bad being the person breaking the bad news as the person hearing it.
Who hasn't at one time felt, oh, how am I going to tell Jim this? Yeah. Oh, my God. How am I going to tell Jim he has to work with PJ? Oh, my God. He's been, you know.
Yeah. I believe the boss took a fortnight off.
Yeah.
Before and after that.
Went on his holidays and paid someone else to tell you.
But it's one of those awkward ones, isn't it? It's kind of, and there's obviously this, you know, there's bad news where like you're the cause of it, as well as being the one telling us.
That's the worst.
That's the worst of all.
At least you turn it and then like pull the battery out and run away. You know,
so, but there is, as you say, there's always that classic line, and the minute you hear it,
you know, are you sitting down? That's one of them. Oh. Are you sitting down, Jim? Are you sitting down? You know, you go, oh, what? Just tell me. Oh, and it could be anything, you know. I'm after eating your dinner, or you know. But you just know bad news is coming when somebody wants to know if you're sitting down. As if you're going to, and it sets you up terrible because you presume the news is going to be so bad, your legs will give way.
Yeah, that you'd actually fall out of your standing.
Yeah. Which I don't think, has that ever happened in the history of the world? Or maybe.
Well, I suppose if it was really bad, maybe you'd faint. Maybe you'd be overwhelmed with emotion.
Maybe if the bad news was your blood sugar level isn't great. Tell me about it.
Yeah.
And then there's, can I just see you in here for a minute? That's one of them as well. If that's in the workplace, that's what strikes fear into me in the workplace.
Yeah.
When the boss
Mind you, to be honest with you,
can I just see you in here for a minute?
If anybody ever says to me anything that resembles, can I have a word? Straight away.
Oh, yeah, well, you're in presumption.
Yeah. Because in my experience, nobody's ever said to me, can I have a word? And then told me something good.
Yeah.
Can I have a word?
And you
We're
always...
just giving you a promotion. That's never happened.
And you always expect the worst. They could go, can I have a word with you in here, Jim? Yeah, you're getting a promotion. And you'd be going, what do I have to do for it? Am I getting paid more? Or do I have to pay you for it?
Being a pessimist is not a great thing. Can I have a word is never.
Yeah. Well, we need to talk. It's the other one. Yeah. You know, we need to talk.
Literally, Piff
has just
WhatsApped that in to say the
jeepers.
Worst thing you can say to anyone is we need to talk.
And you never guess. No one ever says that to your face. It's always a text, isn't it? It's always a we need to talk. And you're like, so you spend the next
but
2 hours.
Never, like, it's never.
Oh, jeepers.
Why is that always associated with bad? Nobody ever says we need to talk because. We, you know, I love talking to you. It's great.
Yeah,
and we should have a laugh.
Yeah, we need to talk more. You know?
It's never in that sort of vein of like, you know, we need to talk. You know something? I enjoy talking to you. We should talk more. No, it's not. It's we need to talk.
Yeah, we need to talk.
And by the way, it's not me, it's you.
Oh, God. If you hear we need to talk, you always know whatever is going to happen, you're getting the blame for it.
Complete.
And it's never bad news. It's not, we need to talk, granny's not well. It's always, we need to talk, I hate you. You know, it sort of goes that direction, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And you know that, you know, when we got married, we said, till death do us part. You know, if you get any of that, if you start getting a lecture like that, you know it's going to end badly.
What do you mean? Somebody starts bad news with...
Oh, well, I suppose
when
that's
we
only,
got married.
No, that's only an argument.
Mind you, that, I suppose that could be the start of a lot of bad news.
Well, here's one that you'll get, because I know you've been behind this, and I've had to say this loads of times. Okay, now listen, don't get angry, right? I've had to say that so many times.
Yeah,
okay.
To which I normally respond, why, what have you done?
Yeah. Now, hold on. Now, I didn't do anything. Before you ask, I didn't do anything, right?
Yeah.
Don't get angry. Now, I was there. I admit I was there. But I didn't do it. Oh, you know that. You know that sort of thing.
So well, the minute somebody says "Don't get angry," your shackles actually come up. You think, "Oh,
what happened?
What is it now?
What happened?
What is it now?"
Okay.
Now, are you sure you won't get? I won't get angry. And now, are you sure? Because you're starting to sound a bit angry.
God, you.
I'm not angry. Oh, you sound angry to me.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'll never forget. I was playing the pass him out game in the car with my dad. Did you ever say I was? You know when you come up behind the car, pass him out. And then the elf that was doing that thing where he was trying to reach his hand back and slap me on the legs as he was driving. Shut up, you fucking dick. You know that thing? And I would pass him out. And then he turned around and he said to me, "I'm warning you now. That's the last time. Right?"
Yeah.
And it was real quiet in the car, just the radio. Gay Bourne was on, I remember. And we came up behind the coal truck and I went, "Pass him out. And he pulled in and jumped out of the car to come and get me. And I panicked and I locked him out of the car. I hit all the buttons. And he was there. "Let me in. I won't kill you." "Let me in. Let me in. You're not in trouble." I was there. "I am in trouble." He said, "I won't slap you. Let me in.
I'm not angry."
And then I went, "No." And he grabbed the door handle and went, "Let me in."
It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
There's a hotel which has been unnamed, thankfully, as there be protests outside, and rightfully so, because they served a full Irish breakfast to someone who was staying in Dublin quite briefly, obviously. And they went down to get their full Irish breakfast, and they were served it with rasher, sausage,
lovely, yes,
bacon, egg,
like it,
white pudding, black pudding.
Oh, very good.
And a side salad. And
a side
yeah they
salad.
Took a picture of it, they put it on Twitter, they put it on the internet, and
salad as in lettuce and the whole nine yards that you'd expect from a
lettuce and I don't know avocado and tomatoes and I probably even that's culchy spit coleslaw. You know that old gook.
Side salad with your full Irish,
yeah, in a hotel. So so there's a tourist now, one at least American person, is going back to Boston, Pennsylvania, California, wherever, thinking that we eat salad for breakfast. And I'm absolutely disgusted. And so was most of Twitter. They were all saying this is outrageous.
And it's probably unlikely. I mean, they're hardly served it to just one person.
They're probably doing it all the time.
This must be their standard fare.
Yeah, they're doing it all the time. A side salad. If you gave Jim a side salad before 3 o'clock in the day, it'd be like... be like trying to give your cat medicine. He'd be like, he'd be chasing him around the room.
Side salads at the best of times. I mean, very few people even do a decent side salad.
That's very true.
Most of them are rubbish.
Yeah, most of a side salad still to me means, you know, when you're going to a... you're on your way to a culty, you see your culty cousins, and you stop off in one of those pubs and say, I just have,
burgers,
and it comes with a side salad, and it's like a half a carrot, unchopped. You know that, lying on a leaf of lettuce with a load of coleslaw and a one little round tomato.
Like, most people associate a side salad with, they treat it no more than garnish.
I know.
It's like decoration on a plate.
Yeah, it's just
it's kind of there beside your sandwich.
Yeah, it's to give the impression of health. You know, it's not to actually eat.
But whatever about it being beside a sandwich, or whatever it is you're having in the middle of your day.
On your full Irish.
Your lasagna. Which are side salads.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
But imagine putting it on a breakfast. A full Irish breakfast.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just...
I tell you something. And we thought we'd problems with global warming and everything.
Yeah, I know. I like that. But this is the important issues. And I think Jim is right. This is reputational damage on a national scale. Oh. This is what it is. There are people going all over the world.
We won't be getting the Euros in 2028 if this gets out that we're giving away, sticking side salads on a dirty big full Irish.
Yeah, they'll be there. Oh, we'll take the Welsh, the Scots and the Brits. Oh, we'll take them. They eat proper breakfasts. But those people in Dublin... eating side salad for breakfast, it's no wonder the rest of the country hates them. Oh. It's absolutely outrageous. I mean, at least just
hang
go down and give them sausage.
Oh my God, you won't believe this, PJ. We're getting reaction. Anita has been on to say, side salad on batch with chipper chips or a full Irish, I'd mill that.
You're a sick individual. You're a sick, weird individual. You're not right in the head at all. I don't know if we can communicate with you anymore. That's not how you start your morning.
That's a shocking carry on there now. Yeah. And also, there's somebody else now. Mark has decided he might give that a go.
What's wrong with you?
What? I don't know.
This is like...
there's a lot of sick people.
You know the way there's all these secret societies around, you know, there's loads of them.
Yeah.
The Illuminati. I don't know if they're a real one. but, you know, to be like...
Remember we encountered the secret sausage?
What were they called again? There was a secret sausage society, wasn't there? Yeah, now we know that there's a secret salad society out there trying to ruin the breakfast on the common man, Jim.
Baz has pointed out this is the slippery slope. Fair play, Baz and Loud. He said, look, in 20 years' time, your dinner will be a full salad with one rasher on the side.
Yeah.
That's what'll happen. The green will take over.
Oh, they've even got a name for it.
What?
The Cobb salads. That's the Cobb salad, you know, with cheese and all the stuff and the little chopped up bits of bacon.
I like a Cobb salad.
You wash your dirty mouth out with soap and water, you filthy animal. I knew you were a pervert, but I didn't think you were that bad.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
Not everybody, you say to yourself, is as gifted as the great PJ Gallagher. Not everybody has the capacity to literally, you know, imitate accents, languages, and, you know, put themselves into a completely different character in person. But believe it or not, you don't just have the one voice.
No, apparently not. Apparently none
and
of us
you
do.
You certainly don't.
Oh, no. I tell me about it. Oh, my God. There's quite a few of them in my head. But we have... Apparently nobody has one voice. Apparently we all have different voices that we use at different occasions, right?
So we all think we sound the same no matter where we are.
Yeah, but if you really give it some thought, like apparently when you answer the phone, you might have a telephone voice that you use when you're on the phone to someone at work. Or
the old Mrs. Bouquet thing?
Yeah, my ma had one, you know.
Yeah.
And she used to say the last four letters of the thing. Oh, why she did it, of the phone number. So she'd pick it up and go, 5729? It was the weirdest thing.
Just the last four.
Yeah, and put on this mad voice. Hello, 5729. Those aren't the four numbers, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, the telephone voice thing was huge.
Yeah, that's a huge thing. And then there's like the voice that when you go back to your friends you grew up with, maybe you get a little bit more, all right, lads, what's the story? How's it going? The smell of cheese off. Larry or whatever, you know.
Yeah. I might be slightly guilty of that on occasion.
You know, there's that one. And then maybe there's a voice that you use only to your partner in life. You know, the whole, look at you, you pretty little dog. Oh, you know, one of them.
Please don't ever use that voice. For any reason.
I use that.
And especially not in here.
That's how I chat people up. Hello, you pretty dog.
You walk up to somebody at a party and go, who's a lovely little girl? Look at you with your little chubby cheeks.
Would you like a pint? Would you be a little kid? Let me get you a rock shaggy and a pack of your crisps.
You want something to eat,
you do. You like cheese and you do.
And yet, bizarrely, it's successful. But anyway, so everybody has a touch of that in there.
Apparently so. We also
There must be a taxi driver voice, is there?
Oh, definitely.
I don't mean taxi drivers. I mean the voice that people have when they get into a taxi.
When they get into a taxi, there is that, isn't there? How's it going? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Busy, I suppose you are. Oh, God, what time is it? You know, you have that sort of more casual. And there's also the phoning into work sick voice, you know. I know that only too well. Sorry. And will you just tell Jim he has to do all the work? What's the difference, PJ? I won't be there to watch it. So does that voice.
Yeah.
You know, there's quite a lot when you really think about it. There's quite a lot that we all have these different sort of characters that we play.
Yeah.
And you never put it down to that.
I mean, there's no harm in it sometimes. You know,
the
art of good communication is you must be understood. So if you have to sort of, you know.
Yeah,
if you have to adapt to a situation, that's okay.
Yeah, I think so. And it's not. We're not like those lunatics that go to Boston for a weekend and come back and go, "Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed myself." They got a lot of food over there. We don't do here. You're like, you're from Dorky, Jerry. Yeah, I know, but you know, sometimes you get an influence or something.
There is a massive influence from the social media stuff. A lot of kids kids who have never been outside of Ireland end up having bizarre sort of accents.
Yeah, they do.
You wouldn't know where they're meant to be from.
Yeah, there's like a very neutral accent now that I don't think existed when we were young. Like, you can't really put a place on it or anything.
Yeah.
It's almost an Americanized kind of very neutral.
Have you ever had a... I'd love to know what your posh accent is. You know, but, I don't think I've ever, like, I would associate you with having a fairly uniform kind of voice and accent.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, occasionally on a meeting, you might attempt to sound enthusiastic, but it never really works. But it's still...
yeah.
But, you know, that's, other than that, I've never really noticed you change. You know, on stage, normal life, rich people, poor people, you know. Generally, it's just you, isn't it?
Again, that calls doesn't speak wonders for my talent, because, to be honest, I thought I was changing it all the time. I thought I was being a chameleon. I genuinely was walking around.
You thought you were speaking kind of like received English or received pronunciation.
Jim, leave this one with me. I'll put on my posh voice. All right, horse. How's it going? Can we have two caviar rolls and a glass of orange juice? Don't worry, Jim, I have him.
Yeah. I know how to speak to these people.
He's in the power, man.
I know how to speak to these people.
Hello, Ambassador. Could you give Jim... I'm Lord Mayor.
Yeah.
Same difference. Same difference. I do love when people, you know, when some people who are working class put on their posh voice, and it's so obviously a posh voice that nobody would ever do. It becomes very... Well, I don't know about that.
I was just going to say,
that one.
The one thing you can always guarantee when somebody goes for their posh voice is that their THs
become far too pronounced.
They go the wrong way.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, that would be a thing for somebody else to decide.
Yeah, would you tell your mother, I have great gratitude for the box of chocolates she sent me on the death of my dear auntie. Yeah.
Why is it you never hear the reverse of that? Why is it you never hear the sort of marbles in the mouth trying a sort of a flat working class accent?
I don't know.
How
yeah,
come you never see that sort of that thing or hear that thing?
I know.
Where somebody, you know, who's normally very well spoken.
Yeah, and they
attempting.
And then suddenly they're walking around going, I'm telling you, lads, it was some of the greatest horseplay of all time. Me and the boys in the rock, you wouldn't believe it. Points of Hino. Me dad took out the speedboat and the Ferrari and everything. Unbelievable, Craig. It's not really the same.
It doesn't kind of work.
It doesn't really work, does it? Yeah, it doesn't cross over.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I suppose those people don't feel like they have to pretend to be different people.
Yeah.
You know, where you and me, well, you anyway, Mr. Doubting Himself Almighty over here. If Jim goes to Cork for 5 seconds, he's like, I'm just trying to fit in.
It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim
on Radio Nova.
Everybody's memory has gone to pot, though. It used to be that you could remember, you had to remember everything, you know. If you had to meet someone at a point, you'd say, it's the 3rd of June, you say, I'll meet you Christmas Eve at the Spire, you know, and you were just had to turn up because there was no way of cancelling or checking in. You just turned up, you know.
Yeah.
And you would always remember phone numbers, and now they're saying only half of us can remember more than one phone number. So, like, that's a pretty damning thing.
Yeah.
When you think about, like, only a third of people can remember their landline number if they have one. I don't know my landline number, actually.
I'm not 100% sure about mine.
I wouldn't know what it starts with.
Haven't used it.
Yeah.
At all.
It's only there because you have to have it, because the Wi-Fi or all that.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
is that what it is?
That old nonsense.
Yeah, God. Your phone numbers now, there's probably... Yeah. So what is it? 50% of us can only manage one.
One phone number.
I'd probably be fractionally better than that.
I know two, including my own. I know two.
Oh, right, if you include my own, right, okay.
I know two. Yeah. That's it.
And is it...
You know, and I come from the time when you had to remember everything. Like, you knew everyone's phone number.
Oh, yeah.
I remember my ma learning me. I remember my ma teaching me to, like, even the phone number to the local Garda station and all. She'd be there, like, so you'd know.
Why did you need to know that?
Well, just in case, you know. We weren't allowed in the house, Jim. We were young people in the 70s and 80s. You were just let out. So if if something happened, you had to call the guys. And it was 666 something. I can't remember it now, of course. But, and I always thought 666, of course, the devils and the guards know. And then, I was always thinking, what? It doesn't matter, I know all these numbers. I've no phone. It's 1986, man. They haven't invented the mobile phone. It's no good to me. I don't even have change to go to a phone box.
That's amazing, isn't it? I can't wait to grow up and have my own house so I can have a phone in it and ring all these numbers I've known for years and never been able to call.
Oh, yeah. I knew auntie's numbers, cousin's numbers, friend's numbers.
Yeah. I used to know all my sister's house numbers, you know, their landlines in their houses.
Yeah.
Now I don't.
And you've like 40 sisters or something, don't you?
Five.
Oh, right. Oh, so a little bit less than I thought.
But now I'd struggle. And the other thing I always knew was, I always know the AIB bank in Finglas for the simple reason that it was always one digit away from my ma's phone number. There's only one digit in the difference because we always used to get wrong numbers where people had pressed the wrong digit.
Is, yeah. You're AIB, mad there, going.
No, it's not AIB.
You want a loan from me? What? I'm not giving you money. Oh. What are you talking about?
And I remember there used to be people would have books. And I'm not talking phone books, actual proper phone books.
Yeah, no, the black book. You'd have a black book with the little letters down the side.
Exactly. And everybody's number would be written in it.
Everyone's number. And without the black book, you are nobody.
You are
the
lost.
Local priest was in there. The local hospital was in there. The guards were in there. Aunties and uncles and cousins were in there. Your neighbours were in there. The people you owned, people that ran the shop down the road were in there. Everyone was in it.
It's just, but across the board, you don't have to have your memory anymore, really.
No, you don't. You don't
Because everything, where you, like, the other thing is, you know people who can tell you how to get somewhere?
Yes.
And they can tell you just off the top of their head,
yeah.
And they'll be able to say to you, like they were blooming black taxi drivers or something, that they know, they have the knowledge so much, they can tell you every street and all that to get somewhere.
It's incredible, yeah.
Whereas now, you never need to go anywhere.
No.
Your phone just tells you. Stick a Google Maps on, you can get anywhere you want.
If someone asks me, how do I get home from here? And I do that, I go home from here every day. I have to like face the direction.
I do that all the time.
I have to turn and face, right, you go that way, and then you do right, and I turn right on the spot.
If this was television, you'd physically see PJ doing the actions now. He's actually going through it in his mind.
Yeah.
It's like some lad involved in virtual reality as though he's got goggles on and he's turning with it.
I have to turn with it or else it doesn't make sense to me. I'm like a compass.
Yeah.
And then when I think of all the numbers my ma knew, but then her phone number, she was so old, Jesus, her friends only had 3 and 4 numbers in their phone number. You know.
That's the first time you've cracked an old gag and I haven't been the victim of it.
Yeah, she was like, 26 was her granny, you know, like, or whatever, you know.
No way.
There was only 5 numbers. I do remember that.
Yeah.
3, 3, 2, 7, 6, 8 was our number.
That's right, yeah, because when the 6th one came in, that was a big deal. And the 7th, my God. How are you supposed to remember that?
Oh, you're like, geez, and now there's mobiles, 08 something, and there's 5 numbers.
The thing is, why did people, was that a real thing that people had to say the name of a place first? Would somebody, you know, Merino 2589.
Yeah, what was that? My old one. Just answer. 2, 4, 7, 6, 8. What?
But
why are you doing this? Yeah.
The Clontarf. Who used to put the bit in front of it? The name of the place.
Hello, Clontarf. 4, 7, 6, 8. Is there another 4, 7, 6, 8 in Finglas I need to know about? What's going on here?
I never understood that.
I never understood.
Was that a real thing or is that an urban myth?
I don't know.
Was that only in Ingerland or somewhere?
I don't know. And then there was always one weirdo who knew everybody's reg plate on their car. Get a hobby, you freak.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
There you go. Some of the best bits from during the week on Morning Glory. Any big plans for the... No drama in the future.
For the
weekend. Is there immediate drama?
I think there is, actually. I just can't remember what it is. What is it? No, there's not. No, it's all calm.
That'll do.
Yeah.
Of course, the beauty of it is, right, this time next week, the World Cup will have started. We'll have been watching the World Cup
in
Qatar. Even though, you know, and obviously, as we've said on the show, we boycotted it here in Ireland.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of the human rights issues. We could have qualified if we wanted to.
Yeah, shouldn't really watch it, but you know.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'll just follow the scores or something.
All of that is there.
So that's all there. So we'll, I'm sure we'll have some sort of a talk or a rant about that.
Yeah, by this time next week, we might even know I sincerely hope we will know who our teams are in the sweep.
Oh, yeah, we have to do the sweep. I love those sweeps.
You say that. Now, I mean, there was, like, we've had the things in the past. There was one that you came out very well with.
Yeah,
I think you got Brazil in one.
I did, yeah.
And I ended up with Japan.
Yeah, that's right.
And there was another one, I can't remember what it was.
And it was the rugby one we did. I ended up with, I don't know what those countries even are. North Macedonia and Fiji or something. It was some ridiculous. I was like, oh, well, that's me out. I literally read it and just threw it in the bin. I don't even have to remember
who it is. Which is extraordinary considering you always claimed that there was only six countries in the world who played rugby.
Well, they literally made those countries up for the tournament. They literally made them up. They don't exist. Thunderland was playing Waterworld and Disneyland was in the semi-final. they don't even exist.
There you go. We should start our own World Cup podcast as well. Anyway, listen, right, we'll get out of here. Have a great week, folks.
Have a great week, everybody, and we'll talk to you hopefully. Yeah, whoa, Gwanda, whoever is playing that is in Ireland.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie, or on the Nova app.